life because of his love for you, his devotion to you and his family. And right now, Lord, I pray that you would bless him as he brings a word from Ephesians, that he would share your heart for us, that he would share what you would have us to hear. And Holy Spirit, open our ears to hear that. And we give you the thanks, the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, got it live. We good, Jerry? Hallelujah.
And guess what? You guys are in for a treat. I dropped ice juice.
I've been just washed in the blood. Man, I've been washed. Man, I'd be prepared for an amazing message out of my mouth today with the Holy Spirit, because I've been washed with the blood of Jesus. Amazing, amazing. Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to have to look at a couple verses in chapter 2 to kind of set us off into chapter 3. Father God, may the words of my mouth be filled with your love and heart. Father God, may I speak from being in the presence, sitting on high with Jesus at his throne of grace. Consequently, in chapter 2, we are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together, raised up to become a holy temple to the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Before we move on, some interesting things in the news and things like this that we need to take note of. But also, as moving on, we're going to be talking about that mystery that Israel and the Jewish people were the object of all God's love and grace. But he always had a plan to include the Gentiles. And Paul is going to talk about this as a mystery of how this connection. And then in chapter 2, we see this connection, all brothers together. What's interesting, what's happening in the Middle East, from some of the other countries that are sort of moderate, and what they're saying is, we have to have knowledge and educate and come to a place. The only solution to the conflict in the Middle East is not having Palestine or not having this and not having this, but let's educate and let's learn how Arab and Jews are brothers together with Abraham. And let's get this connection. You find out where I'm going with this. Let's get this connection that we can finally experience peace in the Middle East. What we're going to be looking here is altogether different than that. But what in hearing these things and hearing these leaders from moderate Islamic countries, and their question was asked, is this even possible that we can have some methodology that Jews and men and Muslims under Abraham can live together in peace? What did that tell me? What was I thinking? Are we at the edge of a man rising to bring peace, a short-lived peace for 3.5 years in that region of the world? Are we there yet with these conversations from heads of states in moderate Muslim countries that say the only journey to peace is that Jew and Muslim will recognize themselves as brothers? Sounds nice, But could it be? Could it be? Where are we in our generation? Could we be close to a man rising and peace, which would be fragile, would last for 3.5 years? I don't know. I'm not sure. But boy, when I hear this talking, and these leaders from these moderate Islamic countries are actually looking for somebody that will rise up and bring peace between Jews and Muslims. Interesting. Just a food for thought. Food for thought. But leading off into chapter 3, for this reason I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the Gentiles. This is a whole different subject now. This is God sending Jesus that would bring redemption in relationship with the Father to Jew and Gentile alike. And bring them together as might thought as one family. And we know from history, we saw little glimpses of that, just little glimpses of that. When Israel was entering into the promised land, was given them, what was their first encounter? Jericho. Their first encounter was Jericho, and it was a fortified city, and Joshua consulted the Lord, and he gave him a plan how they would take care of the obstacle Jericho. Remember running around the city? We even ran around this building here and kind of in some way, a small way, duplicate that. But here's the glimpse. Here's a little glimpse of that. There was one prostitute woman that hid the spies, that got them safely out of the city. Well, what's interesting about that little story in the Bible is that she was like joined in and accepted in the Jewish community. So what we're having now, and Peter, and then we just jump all the way into the New Testament. Peter is sitting on a roof enjoying the sunshine and the Mediterranean. It's all beautiful. And he sees this vision of all these animals that the Jewish people are not even supposed to touch. He says, okay, it's okay. It's okay. And what happened after that? He went to a home of a Gentile. And in the strictest sense of being a Jew in those days, is he shouldn't even enter a Gentile home. But God opened up grace that he would go in that home. He went into that home and talked to those people. And the leader of the house, and it says his house and his whole family came to know Jesus. And we're getting the beginnings of this amazing event that when Jesus was crucified and died and his blood was shed, it was opening up God's love and grace to the whole world. For God so loved the world. That's very different than in the past, for God's love was for Israel. Now it's broadened out the whole world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And Paul bent on stopping this gospel of Jesus Christ, was knocked off a horse, and God spoke to him, and he said, Paul, do you know who you're persecuting? Jesus. And Paul was converted and gave his life to Jesus. And I would say it's very interesting that what was his name? Called to go to Paul. That was Martin. No, the one that was, no, to pray over him. They received. Ananias. Sorry, thank you, right? Ananias. When God came to Ananias and said, "You go to Paul, pray for him that he gets his sight back." And very interesting to believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. Ananias, without even being told, he went to Paul, prayed that he would receive his sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. God never asked him to do that. He did it because he knew it. He knew it to be truth. Then Paul, there was different references in Acts, went away to a quiet place and meditated on what just happened to him. You ever think about it when you got saved, when you gave your life to Jesus? For me, I got in my car, I went to the farm and spent a whole week saying, "What just happened to me? What just happened to me?" And the only way I could search that out to what just happened to me was I didn't come home until I read the whole New Testament. And I said, and I kind of realized, well, this is what happened to me. God, by his grace and his love, picked me up a sinner and saved me and filled me with his Holy Spirit. And I came back with just a heart to love people and help them come to know the Jesus that I just got to meet. So Paul went away, try to get. It doesn't say what God spoke to him, but he said he spent many months in the desert and stuff like that. And God was downloading on him because, you know, Paul had a hard task ahead of him. All these thousands of years of Jews keeping separate from Gentiles was coming to an end. And Paul had to be fortified because he was the apostle called out to speak life and salvation to the Gentiles. And it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. He came into tremendous opposition from the Jews that didn't know Jesus, and oddly enough, from the Jews that did know Jesus. And he got, "How could you do this? How could you spend time with the Gentiles?" Well, we'll learn a little bit more of that in chapter 3 here. "Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace, that it was given to me for you, that this is the mystery made known to me by revelation that I have already written briefly." You know, I'm going to stop there a minute. It's, you know what? Knowledge is good. We should fill ourselves as much as we can with what does God say? When I was sitting there during worship was amazing. I loved worship this morning. And I was just hearing, you know, I came to them and I spoke to them. And by God's grace and power, he has kept Old Testament and New Testament live and written for thousands of years. Kept it intact so we can look. So, but knowledge is good. But it also says in Scripture, knowledge can puff up. But the Spirit gives life. And here he's saying we could speak this truly of Paul, because Paul was extremely knowledgeable in Scriptures. He went to the finest schools. He learned it all. He went to the best seminaries that you could ever find. If they're trying to find the best in the United States, that's where he was. And he was under great teachers and great leaders. And it's good. It's good and it's profitable. You were reading about Proverbs. I was in the Proverbs this week too, and it's amazing the wisdom that comes out of Proverbs. But there's another thing. There's another thing that's in God's kingdom that needs to be remain active. Revelation. Revelation. You actually know it, but maybe you don't know it. It's if you and I went away to a quiet place and all read, we had an assignment, read the whole New Testament, and we all came back together again. What revelation would be is as you and I read the whole New Testament, as we read it, and we came back, we'd find something amazing. Each and every one of us would get something a little different and say, wow, this spoke to me. And what spoke to me may be probably very different from what spoke to Chuck. Still valid, right? Revelation is God's word jumping out and becoming alive to us as individuals. That's revelation. That's revelation. And Paul was receiving revelation from the Holy Spirit. And in reading this, then, you will be able to understand the insights into the mystery of Christ. Like I said, he was living in a time when there was conflict between Jewish believers and Gentile believers. And Paul is calling that a mystery. A mystery. That has been basically, to the most part, revealed, because we're all here today, as Gentiles. My Jewish believers aren't here this morning, but as Gentiles, we've been grafted in, and we're the revealed mystery that Christ came, for God so loved the world. And in that, you know, after I got born again in my late 30s, God started putting in my heart a compassion for the Jewish people to know Jesus. But I didn't know how to navigate through that. For the first part of my time before I got a little more bolder in love, was I kind of pulled back and said, you know, how can I share to this Jewish person, boy, he seems very religious, you know, he's sort of talking to the same God and all this, but he's outside of knowing Jesus. Which reminds me of a little story as this was developing my life. There's this salesman from a major steel company. His name was Sydney. Gotta be Jewish, right? Sydney. Sydney would come in and we'd have lunch. And when I talked to Sydney, I said, Sydney, Jesus is your Messiah. And I was getting more and more bold. And there was another guy that I've talked about in the past, and he used to invite me out to lunch. Now tell me more. Tell me more. Getting boldness has to be just filled with love. Boldness without love can be very harsh. So we are going this relationship, and Sydney said, you know, Byron, I have a problem child. I have a problem child. I can't even hardly have him out when the family comes over. He's messed up. Do you think you could give him a summer job? I said, Sydney, I can't promise that, but Sydney, you know, if I give him a summer job, he's going to hear a lot about Jesus, your Messiah. He sighed and said, you know what? If I don't care, if that could help him, I don't care. Well, I came back, I talked to the manager out there, and we gave him a summer job. And that was probably the most interesting person I ever hired in my life. Because Jack, his son, would every break time come in my office and, what are you talking about, Jesus? Yeah, he's not Jesus. He would just give me trouble. And then I said, go back to your job. And he would just taunt me. And every time I would just respond in love, I said, Jack, you don't know it now, but Jesus, he's the Messiah. You are loved by God, and he loves you, Jack. He'd walk out of my office, come back, taunt me some more, day after day after day. As the summer was coming to an end, Jack came to my office, as usual, during breaks and lunch. I didn't know what to expect. I knew what to expect. I thought some more harassing, you know. But Jack came in, I can remember this, it happened yesterday. He came in front of my desk. He looked at me. He said, how can I know Jesus? I said, Jack, it's simple. Have a seat. And we went through some scriptures. And Jack said, Jesus, forgive me, come into my life. Well, to fast forward, I was very active in those years as a single man. I was leading the kids at our church with Awana programs. I was teaching a high school class for our Sunday school. I was leading a young adults Bible study during the week. And I was actually doing too much, and it even got me sick. I got pneumonia, and it was, but in that Bible study that Jack talked to his parents, Sydney and Julie, and he says, "Is it all right if Byron has the Bible study in our house?" Wow. Paul going to a Gentile house was as traumatic as a Jewish person allowing a Gentile to come in his house to have a Bible study about Jesus Messiah. You know what? They agreed. So, but we were put in a basement, you know, and we were there, and his wife, Sydney's wife, Julie, came to me and said, now, I'm okay with you coming to my house, but I got other children. And I have to admit, Jack has changed. But please, don't tell the rest of my kids about Jesus. You know? And the story went on, Jack to this day believes his mom and dad both came to know Jesus. They're both passed away now. And Jack, I still hear from him every couple of weeks or something. I get a little text or message from him, and he's doing good. The mystery, which is made known to the people, in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God, holy apostles and prophets. And the broader picture of this is, you know, Paul got the commission and the rest of the apostles start joining in. So joining in on this venture, not only to share to the Jewish community, but also share God's grace and message to the Gentile community. And we're here today because it all happened. we're also here today, and you can fact check this, but what I've been hearing from different people is in that first century church, many, many, many Jewish people believed in Jesus Messiah and were born again and persecuted for it. I am hearing that in our generation, it's equal to more Jewish people are coming to know Jesus as the first century church. Are these all signs of his coming? My theology, he's going to be on time. So, this mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together in one body, and shares together in the promise of Jesus Christ. And for us, we need to remember, you guys are, James, you're ministering to Muslims. Jesus is for Jews, Muslims, whatever, all forms of Gentiles. It's time to get the word out and this mystery becoming real to many people coming to know Jesus Christ. I became a servant to this gospel by the gift of God's grace given to me through the workings of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past has been kept hidden, who created all things. You know what? In our generation, it's open season now. It's open season now. I want to raise your confidence that, you know, I always pray we're going to be leaving for Tampa in the middle of the week, and I always pray, Lord, give us divine encounters that we will meet people along the journey. Because when you go on vacation, you're not going on vacation away from Jesus and God. It's just giving us an opportunity to go through Indiana, through Kentucky, through Georgia, through little bits of Tennessee and of Florida, and who knows the people that we'll meet. And Father, so we always pray, Father, just have us make a connection and meet with people on our journey and on our staying there, to meet people to tell them about the love of God in Jesus Christ. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he has accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's a pretty broad declaration. Let this mystery, let this gospel of Jesus Christ be known to all rulers, authorities in the heavenly realms. Let it be known that nothing can stop us. That even the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, you know, and that could be positive or negative, but let the devil know that he's not stopping you. I am unstoppable through the power of God that lives within me. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. You know, it's amazing, but Paul felt an honor to be stoned, to be beaten, to be everything he went through. just so the gospel could get out. None of us can afford a woe is me mentality. And the other thing is, you know, who's ever going to live intentionally, radically for Jesus will suffer persecution. It's not a gospel of everything is beautiful and it's all great. But it is a gospel of you will suffer persecution, but there's a caveat to that. He'll take you through it all. No time to get discouraged when things aren't going right. But it's a gospel of grace, mercy, and love, and kindness, and God will take us through every difficulty. Every difficulty. And heaven's been open to us. We approach God with freedom and confidence. So, you know, I'm a broken record on this. Give thanks in all things. Give thanks in all things. Good or bad, hard or easy, God responds to people that have a grateful, thankful heart. He'll always be there for us. He'll always be there for us. So then he goes on to say, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. And I pray that you will be rooted and established in love. May I, getting it, Tyler? May have power together with all the Lord's holy people and grasp how wide and long and high and deep is his love, is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Go back. Knowledge is good. Revelation is coming to the connection. How loved am I? And remember something. It's not how much you love him. It's really how much he loves you. That's life transforming. And that you may be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God. The fullness of God. That he is number one. He is everything about your life is him. God wants to take you and I to that place. To that place. And now to know who is able to immensely more than we could ask or imagine, according to his power that has worked within us, and to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ through all generations, forever and forever. That ends, but it doesn't end the sermon. We talked about Revelation. And as I was studying and looking through this chapter 3 of Ephesians, and I was contemplating what it was saying and everything else, and I was saying, Lord, you just show me more. And I've read that many times, and been through it many times. And you go through these verses, but the last two or three verses of Ephesians chapter 3 talks about the number seven, that's God, right? Seven things that we need to approach his throne with in prayer. Now, I just went through it, but I think most of us wouldn't have caught this unless we highlight it. There's seven things. And Nancy, I'd like you to pass this out to one per leader of each family. You know, I've kept bringing it up, but we keep postponing and keep postponing it about maybe have a series on the prayers in the scripture, what Moses prayed and others, some of the prophets when they went from prophesying to praying, what Jesus prayed, what the apostles prayed, and what that prayer life was like. Well, in Ephesians chapter 3, it kind of opens a door to a prayer life, to a prayer life. And it's amazing, in this chapter, there are seven things that we should be praying about for ourselves and for others, for family members that are not saved, for bosses that are difficult to work for. But it's amazing there's seven of them. The number of God. There's seven things in Ephesians chapter 3 that Paul highlights to become part of our prayer life. Our prayer life. And I'm going to go through them and ask the Holy Spirit to just help me to pray through these seven things. And hopefully I'll help you when you go home that you have this list, that you can pray for your children that are not saved or saved or have needs and everything else. It's basic what we as believers need. And they're all there in Ephesians chapter 3. And I don't know how many times I've read and studied Ephesians chapter 3 and never saw these seven things. Back to what? I had knowledge of Ephesians 3. What we're entering in as a church now, revelation of Ephesians 3. Revelation. One, that he will strengthen you with his power in the inner being. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you, Lord, that we are not orphans. We are God's children. We're his sons and daughters. And Father God, when we come through difficult times, Lord, Father God, I pray in Jesus' name that you will strengthen us from our inner being. Father God, that we would know that the Holy Spirit indwells us, lives with us, abides in us, leading us into all truth and wisdom of God, Father God. Father God, as the Holy Spirit defines for us how greatly loved and how highly favored we are, Father God, I pray that for our church and all of us as believers in this house. Two, that he will dwell in your hearts by faith. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you, Lord, initially, all of us came to know your Son and your salvation by faith. We came to believe that we missed the mark. And Father God, in him is his love and forgiveness. In him, Father God, we came and said, Lord, forgive me of my sins and who I am, Father God. And by faith, I receive your sacrifice that you made on behalf of me, that now I can call myself a son of God, and you women can call yourself a daughter of God. Three, that I will be rooted and established in his love. Father God, I try so hard to do what's right, and yet I don't always do what's right. Father God, just establish me in your love. Father God, help me to come to that greater place, how greatly loved I am. Father God, that I can approach your throne with confidence because of your great love for me, your great compassion for me. Father God, you know my shortcomings. You know where I failed. Father God, remind me how much you love me, even when I fail, Lord, that you can establish me in this love, Lord, and keep me strong and on a firm foundation. Four, and that we will know how high, long, wide, and deep the love of Christ is. Father God, not only that we know that you love us, Father God, that you would establish for you how amazingly you are in love with us. Father God, it's beyond the horizons. Father God, your love sometimes can be demonstrated in a beautiful sunset. Father God, you paint these beautiful pictures right before us in the heavens. Father God, how high is your love for us? How long and how deep? It's beyond our imagination. Father God, take me to the depths of the universe. And Father God, that in the whole universe that you've created, beyond our visions, where even telescopes can't reach, to know that you love us. You love us that big and that deep and that deep. Five, that we will know that this love surpasses all human knowledge and understanding. Father God, take our church to the place that to know we don't have to understand it to have it. We don't have to have human knowledge to know it. Father God, it's your Holy Spirit that dwells us, that reveals it to us, Father God, that you are beyond human knowledge. You are beyond all understanding. You are the God that is beyond all that, Lord. And Father God, as great and mighty as you are, how majestic that you are, how holy and beautiful that you are, Father God, that you have time for me. You are not too busy. You have time for me. You have time for me. As great as you are, how mighty as you are, you have time for me. He has time for you. He has time for you. Six, that we will know that we are complete in Christ. Father God, help us to come to that place that we would reject that somehow we missed the mark. We reject that our completeness, our whole self, is all about Jesus. All about who he is, about his love for us. That I don't need another person, a new job, or any kind of other change to experience completeness. I am complete in Jesus. I am fully satisfied in Jesus. I'm just fully, fully complete in Jesus. I don't need to add anything to it. So God, that gives me confidence, Lord, when there's curves and switches and things in my life that I can go through those with confidence, because I lack nothing knowing you and knowing who you are. And seven, the final one, that we will know that he desires to do immensely more than we could ever ask or think. Father God, as we've gone through these things in Ephesians, these prayers that we need to go before your throne with, Lord, that Father God, when it's all over with, and we so foundationally set in how loved and favored we are, Father God, we can say to you, Lord, there's nothing beyond your grasp. There's nothing, Lord, that you, God, whatever I bring to you, you're the God of more. That's amazing to me, that I can be limited to what I bring before him, but when I bring things before him, that he's the God of more. He's also the God, for God so loved, he gave. He gave. Father, make me knowledgeable of who you are, a giving God. So God, I will not be afraid to ask. You're not stingy. You're not holding back. You're giving, God. And you're waiting for me to ask. And when I ask, Father God, I thank you, God, for when I ask, you give me more. You give me more than I can ever ask or think. This prayer life, as you take it home, I want you, you know, the tip of the iceberg. God will give you revelation where you are to come to God with these things that he is asked Paul to, is inviting us to go before his throne with, right? And go there with confidence. And I believe faith is rising up in this church. And these seven things, I know will help you. I know will help you. Because here was the birth of the church. Here was the man, Paul, that was commissioned to do something radical in his lifetime, was bring the message of Jesus to the Gentiles as well as to the Jews. And this is his prescription of going to God. I'm sure, I don't have the time to go through it. We can look at each and every one and see where Paul passed through different things in his life. And he knew that. He knew this God. Whoa, that wake up. We're all wake up. So it's, but then I would be unfair that we would just leave it at these prayer of Paul, things he prayed for in his generation, which we're here because he did what he did, to not come to realization. Sometimes we can, I don't know about you, but we can go this, well, he did it then, will he do it now? I know he did it, man, I know what Jesus did, but will he do it now? I know what happened with Peter and Paul and James and all. I read the book, but is it for real for now? I'm glad for the last verse in Ephesians chapter 3, after all, showing this pattern for prayer life. To him be glory in the church. and in Jesus Christ. Get it? Throughout all generations. And he could have stopped there. God, you know, bring this realization to the church, to the people of God, to those who want to serve Jesus and walk. And man, you know, throughout all generations. But then he had to say, forever and ever. That ever is now. That ever is right now. When Paul is praying these things, these seven things for believers, and he's saying forever and ever, that makes this very relevant for today, right now. So I, and contact her whenever you can, but so, that was hilarious.
So,
yeah. I'm glad. I hope she gets saved. You know, so, I hope this was all meaningful to you all, and blessed by it, and we got a whole half hour now, or we don't need to use all. We can all get home early today if we want to, but if anyone here was blessed by the message or have a prophetic word, or have a need or anything else, I want you to come here and share it with everybody. Like share time and everything else. But thank you, Jesus. Let's just wait on the Holy Spirit. Let's just wait on the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. I know you're present here. I know you're present in all our life. That you're the Holy Spirit, prophetic, in Jesus' name, Lord. You're the Holy Spirit that wants to lead us and guide us into all truth. And you know, one of the things I've been praying for, Peter, I've been praying for restored memory in Jesus' name. Nothing is beyond him. Nothing is impossible for him. So, Father God, in Jesus' name, I declare and pray for my brother, Lord, that the mind of Christ would dwell in him richly, which really is, Peter loves to talk about Jesus, right, Lydia? Loves to talk about Jesus, Lord, but restore what the enemy has stolen in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And for Don, the same thing. Don is struggling too, in Jesus' name, but similar as my brother Peter. Father God, we lift him up, Lord. And we just were talking about praying for the impossible, right? God's the God of the impossible. He hasn't changed. He hasn't changed at all. So, Father God, raise up faith to believe what we might view as impossible. Anyone else? Anybody have a Holy Spirit giving you a word of prophecy? I want to thank the Lord publicly. Juan came to me last Sunday and came to me. And I was expecting that he's here for me to pray for him. And he came to me and he said, I'm here to pray for you. I thank my brother there. And like a son, that he came, and he never asked me to pray for anything for him. He just, I'm here to pray for you. God's at work here in Jesus' name. You have something? Yeah. Is it live?
Is that live, Jeff?
For the Zoom people. this morning when we're in the prayer time, I had a picture, and it was of a bottle that was filled with tears, and the Lord was saying there was somebody that maybe was going to be here today that the Lord wanted them to know that he has seen all their tears and saved them in a bottle. In Psalm 56, it says, "You have kept count of my tossings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book?" So if that's for anybody here, just receive the fact the Lord sees you, and he, maybe it's for someone on Zoom, I don't know, but the Lord wants you to know he sees you, and he sees all those tears.
And this includes you young guys, you know. Yes, I just want to thank the Lord. All last week I was thanking the Lord for you, Pamela. I thank you for all the hard work you did in learning how to play the drums, and it's in a crescendo mode. That's a musical term, I think, right? I mean, boom, 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 up. And I'm so blessed to just, I just want to let you know, you were better this week than you were last week, but I don't know if it was actually you or our sound new sound system, but it was the balance. I just thank the Lord for Jerry, Lord. I spent all day here yesterday getting our new sound stuff going together, and I don't know if anybody noticed it. During the worship, it was really a beautiful thing. To just, everything was so well balanced in Jesus' name. And don't be shy, you know, if God has come.
Yes, so in the same note, I thank God for our church, for what the Lord has been doing here, pouring his love through us to one another. I am on the receiving end, and I praise the Father because this past weekend, last Sunday, the Lord is so amazing that every Sunday until last Sunday, I wouldn't make it here for the prayer time in the morning. It was always a struggle. I'm too tired. It's the only morning that I get that 1 hour, extra hour, so I never made it. But then, praise be to God, that because Pamela now is in worship and she has to be here at 9, so now it's a commitment. I have to be here at 9. And man, was I blessed by being here for that first hour. And so last week, so I come in and the Lord spoke to Nancy and then spoke, right, what the Lord put in her heart. And yes, it was really for me. And they prayed, and that made a whole difference. I told them, I said, well, I feel like I'm just sleeping. I've been waiting for a long time on so many things with the Lord. I've been struggling and fighting and using, you know, all that I can, really in the physical world, trying to, you know, and not having result, that to this point, I feel just like I'm just going, I'm just showing up. And with the prayer, after everybody prayed for me, wow, I left so much different than I came, awakened and, you know, rejoicing. And that gave me more power to just, you know, go through the week. Nothing happened again, but it's different. You know, I feel different. I see things in a different way. And we had good news and we had bad news. And every time the, you know, discouragement is hitting, someone in this church somehow blessed us again, you know, and really poured out the love. So I praise God for June. She had some time with me. We spent time together, and that was a lot of love that I received. And I praise God for finding Dusty, for taking care of Pamela and teaching her. And this is amazing, right? The experience we get to do, and Brian and Nancy for blessing Pamela with the training and the instrument. And so all I can say is just I thank you, Lord, for the love that we received, the love that we've been pouring into one another. And so on Friday night, Melissa and I, we've been praying, we've been waiting for God to respond. And then we just received a text message. And this text message, right, it turned into a conversation that gave us hope and opened a door for us. So the right away we're setting up an appointment for Saturday. It was really God's answer ringing to Pamela through someone's love, just, you know, reaching out to us and making this possible. So yesterday, I'm with Melissa and we're praying in the car. We're just thanking the Lord and asking him to remind us that we're also vessels. There are out there, and we want to be pouring out this love too, you know, the same way that we've been receiving and the Lord has been using, and this church has been just, you know, so amazing to us. We want to encourage you all to know that you are vessels of love. God has been pouring and outpouring love. And even though you don't feel like, even though you feel discouraged or you feel like you don't get it, well, the Lord has been so amazing and been doing amazing things right through this church. So I encourage each one of you, and I ask the Lord, I've been asking the Lord with Melissa, that we'll make this kind of a difference too out there. You know, maybe it's a simple text message, maybe it's a simple phone call or a visit, something, you know, and just be there, that the Lord will do this for us. And then I just wanted to rephrase